Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Podcast Network Asia.
The following program may have words or content that may trigger fear, panic, or anxiety, especially to the younger audience. Do not proceed if necessary. Urban legends have been passed on from different generations from all over the world. But in the age of modern cities, mass media, and digital age, these stories have transcended to continue and give us both fear and wonder. But are these legends true? I am Earl, and I am the humble campmaster. And within the next few moments, I will be your guide into the mysterious world of the urban legends. Many of us know Jose Rizal as the national hero of the Philippines, and known for his many roles in life as a doctor, writer, and a patriot. Some authors say that Jose Rizal also had an affinity for beautiful women and had his fair share of romantic relationships during a short life that lasted only for 35 years. But despite the heroism of Dr. Jose Rizal, the chaotic and mysterious world of urban legends still made its way to his name. For this episode, we will examine some of the many urban legends about the great Filipino hero, Jose Rizal. The year was 1888. On a rainy and dark night of 31st of August, terror filled the entire Whitechapel district in the city of London. In a dark alley where the horse's carriage passes, a woman was found lying down. The woman's clothes were drenched from the rain and mud, and interestingly, her clothes were pulled up. In order not to disgrace the woman, the man in the carriage passing by pulled down the woman's clothes and called a constable to inform them of the scene. When the authorities arrived, they were surprised to see who was lying down the street. The woman's neck was cut open with a gash, but despite her loss of blood and the cold from the pouring rain, the woman's lifeless body was still warm. That only means the crime took place just shortly before it was discovered. These and the next heinous crimes that are bound to terrorize the Whitechapel district will soon be known as rippings. Some of the world's most famous and mysterious series of crimes that took four more lives begins on this night, the night we first heard of Jack the Ripper. The lifeless woman was identified as Mary Nichols. Mary Nichols was evicted from her Doss House, or the affordable common lodging houses for the homeless and the poor. Doss houses were all around the town in those days because poverty was common to many, especially in the Whitechapel part. These kind of shelters are important, especially in areas with different climates, because it gets extremely cold, especially at night, and electricity was not yet widespread in many parts of the world. The Whitechapel district during this period was at the core of poverty. People barely get by on their day-to-day needs like food and shelter, so crime was naturally rampant. People had to cling to alcohol to escape their harsh reality. The victims of the Whitechapel murders were women who had succumbed to the hardships of life at that time. Mary Nichols was murdered on August 31, 1888. This was eventually followed by the murder of Annie Chapman on September 8, 1888 at 29 Hanbury Street, just a mile away from the first scene of the crime. Like Mary, Annie also had her throat slashed. But this time, the victim's intestines and organs were ripped out of her, according to the reports. 2 days after her death, the autopsy of Annie Chapman's body revealed that the removal of her entrails weren't really Jack the Ripper's target that night. Instead, he was actually getting to Annie's uterus. The autopsy also found that Annie Chapman had tuberculosis and was receiving treatment, supposedly on her way to recovery. Before that dreadful month was over, Jack the Ripper murdered two more women on September 30, 1888. The first of which was a woman named Elizabeth Stride, who was found dead in the early hours of that morning. Stride's neck was also slashed open, but no other mutilation was done to her body. Why was it, you ask, when all the other murder victims were mutilated? Rumor says it was suspected that Jack the Ripper was abruptly interrupted from dismembering Stride's body that night, so he failed to finish Stride's ripping. And because of that, Jack the Ripper attacked one more time on the same night. The second victim that night was Catherine Eddowes, whose body was also seen lifeless early that morning. Her neck was extremely severed, her stomach was cut open, revealing her left kidney and uterus were also removed. Eddowes' face was also mutilated. This horrific evening came to be known as the night of the double event. The final victim and the most brutal murder was that of a woman named Mary Jane Kelly, who was also found dead in her bedroom on November 9, 1888. Her face was extensively mutilated and she was disemboweled to almost nothing left of her guts in her stomach, as they were scattered all over the room. Only one thing is missing from the scene of the crime: Mary Jane Kelly's heart. Because of this, a theory was formed that the perpetrator of these crimes had knowledge of the human anatomy, as he was able to finish a crime in a swift manner, and the cuts of his knives are almost clinical. The terror of these murders brought into the district pushed the government to deploy constables to look out for the killer and prevent him in getting his next victim. People out on the streets became more vigilant too. But alas, the crimes piled up as Jack the Ripper kept on ripping. When we return, let's find out what Dr. Jose Rizal has to do with the Whitechapel murders, and why is he linked to Jack the Ripper?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now, back to our story. One of the most serious reasons why Rizal had to leave the country was because of the poor reception by the friars and the Spanish officials of his book Noli Me Tangere, which was printed in 1887. He left for Hong Kong and then traveled to Macau and headed to Japan towards America. He landed in San Francisco, California in April 1888 and traveled through the areas of Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Nebraska, Illinois until reaching New York. Jose Rizal was only 26 years old when he arrived in London on the 24th of May, 1888. That was 4 months before the Whitechapel murders began. He went to London to further his study of the English language and made a manually written copy of Antonio de Morga's book, Sucesos de las Islas Filipinas, which was first printed in Mexico in 1609. Rizal lived with Charles Beckett's family at number 37 Chalkwood Crescent in Primrose Hill. At the current time, the house where he lived can be seen with the inscription, Dr. Jose Rizal, writer, national hero of the Philippines, lived here. It was posted by the Greater London Council. This house is only about 6 miles away from the Whitechapel district. And because of the date of Rizal's stay in London was almost about the same time as the Whitechapel murders, and he almost lived in the same area, people could not get rid of the thought that Jack the Ripper and Jose Rizal were probably one and the same. Another reason is that Dr. Jose Rizal was a medical student. He taught 4 years of medicine at the University of Santo Tomas starting in 1882. One of the reasons for his trip to Europe was that he wanted to study ophthalmology in the city of Madrid in Spain. With his exposure and expertise of the human anatomy, it became easy for conspiracy theorists to connect that he may be the one committing the crime using his knowledge of the medical tools. Because of these things, this urban legend that Jack the Ripper and Dr. Jose Rizal are one and the same person has become plausible. It has not escaped people to compare that both Jose Rizal and Jack the Ripper share the same initials, J.R. But what are the reasons why this urban legend will not match based on our available history? The Whitechapel district has a rich history of murder and poverty. Because of this, crimes were already rampant in that area, even before Rizal arrived and even after he left London. The crime rate and immorality in the Whitechapel district are high because of the culture of anti-Semitism, racism, and violence against different classes of people is widespread during the time. But it is said that there was another person who was killed by Jack the Ripper in July 1889. Her name is Alice Mackenzie. At this time, Jose Rizal was already in Paris and was finishing his annotated copy of Sucesos de las Islas Filipinas. If it is true that Jack the Ripper killed Alice Mackenzie, that means Jose Rizal could not be the real Jack the Ripper. We love stories with a mix of mystery and conspiracy theories, but in this matter, where our national hero is linked to a serial killing, maybe we can put this urban legend to rest. When we come back, we will talk about another urban legend that talks about Dr. Jose Rizal, coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now, back to our episode. During Jose Rizal's trip to Europe in the late 1800s, another urban legend originated that I am sure you have heard of. It is that Jose Rizal is said to be the father of the dictator, Adolf Hitler. Jose Rizal was in Germany to translate books during the period of 1886 to 1887, as detailed on the website joserizal.ph. In this trip, he was accompanied by a friend of his, Maximo Viola, who also paid for the printing of Jose Rizal's Noli Me Tangere. In the year 1913, Viola looked back on their journey and remembered their stories and written them down to be recorded. According to this record,
it can be said that the life of the illustrious traveler in the city had nothing notable about it.
Like great men, he visited his friends and fellow countrymen, monuments and institutions without pomp or ceremony. During the day, I could not accompany him in his excursions as much as I wished for the reason that I was preparing for my final examinations, as I have previously stated. At night, I accompanied him sometimes to the Café Pelayo, a gathering place for the Filipino colony, and sometimes to other amusement centers, including Casas de Palomas de Balovuelo, or brothels, whose ways, luxury or poverty, and other customs and the refinement of vice were unknown to him at Madrid. In one of our tours of that city, Rizal encountered the figure of a temptress in a form of a Viennese woman of the family of the Camellias or Marguerite, of extraordinary beauty and irresistible attraction, who seemingly had been expressly invited to offer, for a moment, the cup of mundane pleasure to the apostle of the Philippine freedom, who, until then, had enjoyed among his intimates the fame worthy of his glorious namesake, Saint Joseph. With the exception of this case, I knew of no other slip of Rizal during more than 6 months of our living together. This is where the speculation of our next urban legend comes from, because the alleged Viennese woman is none other than Clara Potzel, the mother of the dictator Adolf Hitler. Hitler was born to his parents Alois Hitler and Clara Potzel on April 20, 1889, in Austria. Due to the closeness of the dates of José Rizal's trip to Austria in 1887 and Hitler's birth in 1889, conspiracy theorists speculated the possibility that Rizal might be Hitler's father. But this will also be the same thing that will debunk this urban legend, because if Hitler was born in April 1889, that could only mean that he was conceived around July or August of 1888. During those months, Rizal was going back and forth from London and Paris, working on the copy of the book Sucesos de las Islas Filipinas of Antonio del Morga. So just based on the recorded accounts of history, based on his travels, Rizal cannot be the true father of Hitler. People said there are resemblances between Rizal and Hitler in terms of the hairstyle, and both men sported a mustache. But these are just small things, and I bet most men shared the same style during those days. Honestly, I don't know why this urban legend even had a chance to endure time as it did, when clearly the two men were of different ethnicity. Hitler has no trace of being biracial, and even though their pictures are black and white in history books, you know they are totally from different gene pool. We recognize José Rizal as the great Filipino, symbol of the Filipino who is good, skillfully gifted, and has pride for his heritage. But for a long time, when the majority of the Filipinos are still suffering poverty, are these urban legends a symbol of our nation's thirst for international recognition? To the point that we even link our heroes, the best of our people, to the worst people in history just so we can claim that we are globally known. Are we really eager to be recognized by the world in this way? On the other hand, stories like this give a different angle to our hero, who, despite his greatness, could have also been an ordinary young lad who lived his life in old Europe more than 100 years ago. This urban legend is a way to bring someone like him closer to us by showing, though they have heroic status, they are also human, having fun, running away from trouble, going for a walk, and maybe indulging in their sexual desires. Who can really say? We do not need to tarnish our heritage as Filipinos. I believe that our people, given the right opportunity and the right government and the right moment, can show the whole world that we are all like Rizal, filled with heroic greatness in mind and in heart. This is where our episode of the Urban Legends about José Rizal ends. If you like this episode, you can support the show by giving tips via Patreon, Ko-fi, PayPal, or GCash. All the links will be posted in our episode's show notes, and your tips help in creating this show. You can also help support the campsite by giving us a like or a follow in all of our social media channels, as well as giving us a good review in our platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and even in our Facebook page. Your support helps us reach more people to listen to the show and help us share these fantastic stories. Again, thank you very much for listening. I hope to be with you again in the next story. I'm Earl, and this is the Urban Legends series of the Philippine Campfire Stories.
This podcast episode is based on or is inspired by true events. Unless otherwise indicated, all the names, characters, businesses, places, events, and incidents in this podcast are either the product of the podcast creator's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.